As we remain standing, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So there's a man named Mr. Otha Anders from Ruston, Louisiana, and he spent 45 years bending down and collecting something really insignificant, pennies. In October of 2015, the 73-year-old Anders took them to his local bank in a 15-gallon jug. That's Mr. Otha Anders. And he deposited a grand total of $5,136.14 into his account. And it said that it took just over 5 hours for the bank machines to sort through all the pennies. But what's really great about this story, I think, is not his thriftiness, it's his gratitude. Each new penny that he found on the ground for him served as a prompt to give thanks to God. As Anders told reporters, he said, "I became convicted that spotting a lost or a dropped penny was an additional God-given incentive, reminding me to always be thankful. There have been days when I failed to pray, and more often than not on those days, a lost or a dropped penny would show up and remind me to pray." So consider that his collection was 500,000 pennies. That represents 500,000 prayers of thanksgiving to God. So I love this story of Mr. Anders, not just because it's a fun story, but it's truthful because when it comes to prayer, prayer is a gift that grows. Not financially usually, but it grows in spirit-filled ways that brings blessing to the person who prays and brings blessing to those the person prays for. And I like this little story as well because it tells another truth about prayer, that prayer takes work, right? It takes decision. To pray, you have to actually pray. And it's not something that comes as naturally or as necessary to us as breathing. We don't need reminders to breathe. We do often need reminders to pray. Reminders or encouragement and incentives to develop a habit of prayer, or reminders and encouragement to continue or to renew a habit of prayer. And Lent is, it's like a penny for Mr. Anders. Lent is a season that is a reminder to us as Christians to pray. Lent is traditionally a season when all around the world, Christians devote themselves to the spiritual discipline of prayer as we tend to this spring cleaning to our souls. And we're going to look very briefly at the discipline of prayer today. You should have received a handout as you came in. You may want to pull that out now. First of all, a brief review as to why we pray as Christians. The most basic reason to pray is because God commanded us to do so, and because Jesus, our Lord, modeled for us a life of prayer. He was always withdrawing to a quiet place to pray. And on your handout and on the screen, you see just a short sampling of the many scriptures where we are admonished to pray. And as we read those scriptures, we realize that prayer is not just to be an occasional event in our lives, something we do just on Sundays when we join in the Lord's Prayer. Prayer is meant to be a daily feature of our lives. It's a pattern that is to be a part of our daily lives, just like drinking water and eating food. So we pray because God tells us to. And obedience is a very fine starting place for taking on or for renewing our habits of prayer. But I do want to be clear, God Often teenagers will ask me this. We're doing confirmation classes right now. Why does God need me to tell him how great he is? Why does God need to hear me say thanks? Doesn't he already know that I'm thankful? I don't think God commands our prayers because he needs to hear my thank yous or your thank yous, our praise. He commands us to pray because you need to praise. You need to say thank you to God. You need to say sorry to God. You need to be in relationship with him, as do I. Our spiritual health depends on this prayer. I think of God's command to pray much like my own commands to my children. You know, I tell them, eat your vegetables. Wear warm clothes. It's 30 below out. Get a hat. Go to bed. Go to bed. Go to bed. And to my children, these commands often sound like a bunch of irritating rules. Even my request to come give your mother a hug is sometimes experienced by my kids as a burden. But my motherly admonitions come from a heart of love and of wisdom. I know my children, and I know that their bodies need good food if their bodies are going to be healthy. I know their bodies need warm clothes because there's such a thing as frostbite, and I want to protect them from that. And I know that their minds need sleep if their minds are going to be able to learn the next day, and I want them to be as bright as they can be. And I know that as much as they push back, they need my loving touch and comfort so they can flourish emotionally and so on. So God commands us to pray because, like a loving parent, he wants the best for us and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he wants us to pray because in prayer, he blesses us with the many good gifts that we need to flourish spiritually. Here are some of the gifts that we need, that we receive when we pray. First of all, in prayer, we experience the gift of relationship with God. Jesus taught us to call God not, "Oh, thou great, unknown, distant creator, O thou who art far away," he said, pray like this, call God Abba, Daddy. And then he immediately invited us to talk to the Father the way we would an earthly parent, to tell God our needs, to present to him our request for daily food, to speak to him as you would honor a parent, to ask his forgiveness and his help. Prayer, simply put, is just talking to God like you would a friend. It's joining a conversation that God initiates with us. Richard Foster has written a book on prayer, and I love the way he describes prayer as bringing us to the heart of God. And he imagines us being drawn in prayer into God's house. This is what he says. He says, prayer brings us into the living room of God's heart, where we can put on our old slippers and we can share freely. God invites us into the kitchen of his friendship, where we can chatter and mix in good form. God invites us into the dining room of his strength, where we can feast to our heart's delight on good, nourishing food. God invites us into the study of his wisdom where we can learn and grow and stretch. God invites us into the workshop of his creativity where he invites us to be co-laborers with him. And God invites us into the bedroom of his rest where new peace is found and we can be vulnerable and find the renewed strength we need. God's home is the place of deepest intimacy where we know and are known to the fullest. The good news of the life of faith is that we do not have to do this journey on our own, but that God invites us to do it with him. And one of the ways that we experience life with him is in prayer. Prayer is like the fuel for our spiritual life. When you look in Scripture, what do you see? You see people in conversation with God. Sometimes they're shouting at him because they're pretty angry. Sometimes they're expressing doubt. Sometimes they're telling him, Lord, help me because I'm afraid. Help me because I need you. Sometimes they're singing their praises of gratitude with God because they just have to rejoice with him. But the point is, they're talking to God. They are in conversation with God because God not only wants us to be in relationship with him, he is safe. He is safe and can be trusted for us to be truly and wholly ourselves before him. So in prayer, God gives us the gift of relationship with him. And it's also in prayer that we uncover a whole myriad of blessings from the Holy Spirit. So when we regularly give thanks to God in prayer, the Spirit opens in our hearts the gift of gratitude. When we habitually praise God, the Spirit opens in our hearts the gift of joy. When we habitually turn to God in our need, God's Spirit opens to us the gift of trust. When we seek God's guidance, God opens to us the gift of his holy wisdom. When we are silent in God's presence, the Holy Spirit stirs things up, sometimes uncovering sin, sometimes gifting us joy or peace, sometimes bringing new insight and new understanding. And thirdly, we pray because God invites us in prayer to petition him for the sake of others and to experience the blessing of being his co-laborers. St. Paul, when we hear his letters, how does he begin them? I always remember you in my thoughts and prayer, giving thanks. He begins with the reminder that he's been praying with them, with the assurance of his continued prayer, and he closes with prayers of blessing. I've lost my place. There's so many things that I would like to say about prayer. Questions we often have, what do we do when God fails to answer our prayers in ways that matter? How do we handle the silence of God, those times when we pray and we feel nothing, you know, where it just feels empty words? How do we understand intercessory prayer? There are so many important questions we have about prayer that I do want to give those kinds of questions a little bit more time in May. As it happens, the Archbishop of Canterbury has issued a call to prayer for Anglicans around the globe in the 10 days leading up to Ascension. We're going to be watching a video at the end of the sermon, and I've invited a group of people to help plan those 10 days of prayer. Some of you haven't checked your email, but an email has been sent. And we're going to be working on a prayer room and other activities like learning how to pray the Anglican Rosary. There'll be prayer walks and so on to teach you different ways to pray and also to invite us as a community to concerted prayer for our neighborhood. But that's a ways away, and Lent is over by then, so I want to make one general observation right now about prayer, and then I want to leave you with three simple prayers to practice in Lent. So the general observation, people often come to me and express to me that they're not sure what to say to God. This is especially new Christians. They'll say, like, I don't know what to say, dear God, and then I'm done. I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong things. What if I say the wrong things? And to which I usually respond, just pray as you can, not as you can't. Just talk to God like you would a friend. And don't worry about getting anything wrong. One of the assurances that we have in Scripture is that God prays with us. It says in Romans, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how we ought to pray. But the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." God takes our imperfect prayers and makes them perfect. If you think about, as a parent, when your children are learning to speak and they say something, you know, adorable, they want to communicate, you know, mummy up. You don't say, "No, you're missing a verb." That's a terrible sentence. No, you pick them up because you're delighted that your child is communicating with you and you are thrilled with them. God is delighted when we pray with him. Now, the prayers that I want to offer you this morning are very simple. They're prayers. One has to do with cultivating the relationship with God. Another has to do with inviting God's blessings, opening the gifts of God's blessing. And the last prayer is about being co-workers by praying for others. The first prayer I've shared with you before, and it's called the toothbrush prayer, and it was taught to me by a Franciscan monk named Brother David. And it was a prayer that he suggested to me because I wanted to encounter God more in the course of my daily living. I no longer had a leisurely hour of quiet to enjoy God. You know, I couldn't even go to the bathroom alone. So I wanted to be more attentive to God in the course of my very noisy life. And so he said, put a rubber band around your toothbrush. And when you go to brush your teeth in the morning, you'll remember to pray this prayer. And the prayer is this: Lord Jesus, interrupt my day with your presence. Very simple prayer. I can't tell you how much that has helped me to be more attentive to God in the course of my daily life. And then at the end of the day, so I am assuming you brush your teeth twice a day. If you don't, you should see your dentist. The end of the day, when you see that rubber band on your toothbrush, you pray again, Lord Jesus, thank you for being present with me this day. Very simple prayer. The second prayer I'm recommending to you is about opening the gifts of God's blessing in your prayer, specifically the gifts of joy and gratitude. So I'm inviting you to thank God for one thing in your life each day. One word of thanks, and then one word of praise to God. Now, the difference between giving thanks and praising God, thanks is for a blessing in your life, whatever it might be. Praising God is about praising God for the things he's done or for his character. So praising God for the beauty of creation. It's God who made the world. Praising God because he's kind. Praising God because he's forgiving and merciful and so on. So one prayer of praise, one prayer of thanks. Anne Lamott, a favorite writer of mine, wrote a book on prayer. And she noted that praising God requires us to slow down. It requires us to slow down and to really look around at the world with fresh appreciation. She writes, "Gorgeous, amazing things come into our lives when we pray and start to pay attention. Mangoes and grandnieces, Bach, ponds. This happens more often when we have as little expectation as possible. If you say, 'Well, that's pretty much what I thought I would see,' you are in trouble. At that point, you have to ask yourself why you are even here. Astonishing material and revelation appears in our lives all the time. We just have to be awake and open for business." So that's what we're doing when we praise God, when we give thanks to God. We open ourselves to business. We open ourselves to rejoicing and delighting in him. Mr. Otha Anders used to collect pennies every day as his reminder. We don't have pennies anymore, but I do have a bucket full of stones. And I invite you to take a stone and put it in your pocket or wallet. And when you feel the stone, remember one prayer and one thanksgiving each day in Lent. And you can feel free to continue that discipline as you go on. The last discipline is to invite you this Lent to pray for 5 people each day, except I want you to pray for the 5 same people. So pick 5 people and commit to praying for those 5 people every day during Lent. You can choose anyone you want, except that I ask you to choose that one of the 5 be someone you consider an enemy or somebody you really dislike. So you can choose 5 people you love, but you have to have one person that you really don't love. One person that you don't love. And you can pray about the needs that you know of. You may know of needs in their lives. You may simply want to ask God's presence and help in their lives. You may want to pray about your relationship with that person. And as you pray over the remaining 35 days of Lent, I want you to observe what happens to you, your response to them, the things that happen in their lives. I have a bucket full of nickels on my dresser at home. So the nickels were supposed to also be available to you this morning, but you'll have to find your own nickel, I'm sorry. Find your own nickel, and when put it beside the stone, and when you feel the nickel, the 5-cent piece, remember your 5 people. So those are 3 very simple disciplines of prayer that I offer to you for Lent, and I commend to you seriously to enrich your discipline of prayer or to begin a habit of prayer or to renew a habit, because God calls us to pray. And we pray out of obedience to Him, knowing that as a father loves his children, He calls us to pray out of love for us and a desire for our growth and maturity. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you are a God who is near, and you invite us to open our hearts to you and to pray. We thank you for the freedom and the goodness of that gift. And I pray that as your people here at Christ Church begin or renew or